This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am John Batchelor, catching up with my colleague Michael Yon. When last we spoke, Michael and his colleague Chuck Holton were in the Dominican Republic. They had just returned from the wall purchased and built by the Dominican Republic to seal out the incoming Haitians who were escaping from the collapse of Haitian society, run over by gangs, no interference whatsoever from the outside. In fact, no member of the United Nations or of the other transnational organizations has volunteered to go into Port-au-Prince or other parts of Haiti to stop the gang violence. However, the wall that constructed by the DR does not look to be difficult to get around or get over. Michael and his colleague Chuck went to the wall, and then they went back to Santo Domingo. So I'm interested to know what the state of Santo Domingo is and what Dominican Republic now thinks of the Haitians who are trying to get there. Michael, we touched on the fact that the wall is covered by the Dominican Republican Army with watchtowers that are covering fire on each other. Did you see in the Santo Domingo, the capital, evidence of large numbers of Haitians who were either homeless or wandering around without jobs?
Definitely. In fact, the Dominican Republic has expelled more than 160,000 Haitians in the last year back to Haiti. You know, they're tired of the gang violence and all sorts of things that Haitians bring, a lot of stuff, you know, and the Dominican Republic doesn't want it. The watchtower is actually on the border between Haiti and Dominican Republic, are actually like little tents. They're two-man little guard positions. They have M16 rifles. They say they don't shoot much. In fact, one of them said that they shoot when they go to the range, which is not even once a year. They shoot one magazine, which is 30 rounds. So they don't really know how to use their rifles, but that's the Dominican Republic side. But they're little tents, you might say, that are sort of watchtowers at the first floor. Those are spread out at about, you know, they can barely interlock each other with fire, but they can certainly observe, and they have radios, and because there's no trees, you know, on the Haitian side, you know, actually that whole area right there where we were is semi-desert anyway. There's cactus all over the place, and you know, it's really like, you know, sort of like Arizona or Texas itself. But on the Haitian side, huge mountains. And like really significant mountains and bigger than the Smoky Mountains. And you know, they've cut down the trees. I mean, they've made so much charcoal on the Haitian side. They've just basically destroyed their side of the island. And, you know, if you fly over Haiti, the topsoil is going out into the sea from the rivers and the mountains. And I mean, they basically just destroyed their environment. And so, you know, there's just – go ahead, sir.
What is the opinion in Dominican Republic of Haiti? Do they fear it? Do they feel the tragedy? How do they express it?
I think it's one of resignation insofar as what can they do? And their own prices are going up in the, you know, Dominican Republic for food, as are everybody's prices. And just so much violence from the Haitians. I mean, they're famous for violence. Even down in Colombia, when I ask the Colombians, because one question I've asked for many years all over the world, so I'll ask people, you know, what cultures do you like? What do you don't like? Which ones, you know, you get along with, and which ones you're not? Everybody likes Japanese, and almost everybody likes Americans, believe it or not. But when it comes down to Colombia and Panama and Mexico and Texas, all along the way, I hear stories about Haitians. And it's not about black people. It's not about Africans. It's specifically about Haitians, right? And doing absurd amounts of violence. And like the Kuna Indians and the Embera Indians and the Darien Gap, they don't want anything to do with Haitians, and nor do the Darians, nor do the Dominicans and Dominican Republic. However, a lot of the Haitians, actually, when I work with them, actually, like one man from Ecuador, he told me this was like a year and a half ago. I call him 22 days because he got stuck in the jungle for 22 days. He had fallen off this little hill and he couldn't get up the mud. His wife left him there, and he said the only ones that would help him were the Haitians. So some Haitians came along in like the sixth day or so and somehow got him out of that, you know, slippery death trap. And he said the Haitians stayed with him for 2 days, fed him for 2 days, prayed with him, took care of him. Finally, they couldn't take him anymore and prayed for him and left him in the jungle and said, good luck. He said, now he's thanking all the Haitians that he sees. So at one side of my mouth, I'm sitting here saying the Haitians bring a lot of problems. But I also see when I'm at Bajo Chiquito, big Haitian men dragging people out of the jungle who couldn't walk. They're carrying them on their backs. So it's like you got both sides going there. You know what I mean? Haitians are rescuing people regularly in that jungle. I see it. And so, so I don't know what to make of that other than, you know, that's just the truth as I see it. Now, when you get down to, you know, I think you want to talk about the Chinese coming through as well.
I do, but I don't want to leave the DR for just a moment. Santo Domingo, when the Haitians reach Santo Domingo, where do they go from there? They don't stay there. They're not welcome. And how do they get out?
Many of them do stay. For instance, I got my hair cut. You know, I've been out in the jungle for a month in Darien, and my scraggly hair, I got my hair cut in a village that was a Haitian village in Dominican Republic. Because on Sunday, well, it was about 9 days ago or so now, or 8 days ago, I went to church over there in this little village in Dominican Republic, and it was a Haitian church. And the preacher was Haitian, and then Chuck Holton, my friend, the war correspondent, you know, also, you know, talked in front of the congregation. It was all Haitians, and it wasn't a coincidence. We went there specifically to be with them, and then the Haitian preacher escorted us for 2 days off to the Haitian border, right? So it wasn't a coincidence that I was in that small Haitian village in the Dominican Republic and got my hair cut. You know, it's when I showed up to get my hair cut. He probably never cut a white man's hair before. So I sit down on the bench, you know, out in the open, of course. There's no barber shop, and the extension cord is in the dust and everything. You know? And he smiled and cut my hair, and, you know, it's a nice haircut.
And so the Haitians have made a community for themselves in the DR. And
yep.
And they make money and they trade and they are living there with the permission of the government. Do you get the sense that this is in some fashion irregular, or the government welcomes them?
I think it's a little of both. Like, for instance, when we went through, when you're leaving Santo Domingo to go to the Haitian border, it's a long drive. You know, most people would probably take 8 or 10 hours. Chuck can do it in like 6, you know, but you go through about 10 checkpoints where the Dominican Republic soldiers have M16 rifles, and they stopped us at many of them. And at one point when we were leaving, we had to go back through the same checkpoints, you know, about 10 of them. And one of them pulled us out of the car and checked our passports. And, you know, the preacher's Haitian. They were very polite and professional to him. And at one point, at another checkpoint, Chuck, who speaks Spanish fluently, he asked the Dominican Republic soldiers, who are you looking for? And the soldiers said, we're looking for Haitians like him. You know, the preacher that was in the front seat, I was in the back. And everybody laughed. The preacher laughed. The soldiers laughed. And they let us go. And in other words, they said, you know, we're looking for the same guy you got in the car here. But then they just let us go, you know, and no problems. There was no fear from the preacher. There was nothing like that.
I'm speaking with Michael Yan. It's Michael Yan at locals.com/locals.com to watch Michael's reporting. There's a lot of video up of his adventures in the Dominican Republic. We're headed back to the Darien Gap, however, because Michael's going to explain to us how the Darien Gap is divided into the hard route and the easy route. And it's significant that the easy route is seeing a great number of people who were not there 2 years ago or even a year ago. That is Chinese mainland. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.